Super. So we left off yesterday. We were trying to understand what the conclusion of this Machlekes Rav and Shmuel should be. There's definitely Machlekes Rav and Shmuel about whether, since it's required to feel the Shema, and we're trying to figure out how we should paskin. So some of the Rishonim said that, well, it's clear from Agamara how we should paskin, that we have to paskin the Shmuel. And so the Baal Mor quotes from the Gaonim, because the Gemara jumps in Beis Hillel, asks the Kasha from Shmuel against Beis Hillel. That sounds like Shmuel really, really has the upper hand. It sounds like we're really paskin like Shmuel. Of course, because the Baal Mor and the Gaonim were of the opinion that the Gemara's Kasha was only from Shmuel. The Kasha wasn't from Rav, because Rav wasn't even talking about Lishma. Rav was talking about some other psul, maybe the lack of Hidda Mitzvah, maybe it's not Min HaKnaf, whatever the different pshat in the Rishonim of. I wonder Rambam from yesterday. But the only Amira on the page who said anything about Tzitzis requiring Lishma was Shmuel. So you see that the Gemara really took Shmuel seriously. So we pointed out in yesterday's Shir that's only true if you read the Gemara that way. But if you read the Gemara like Rashi, then there's no indication that you necessarily pass like Shmuel. Maybe you don't, but there's no Raya that you pass like Shmuel. If you hold like Rashi, that the Gemara's question was Bain from Rav, Bain to Shmuel, it's more likely that you're not going to pass like Shmuel. Why? This was a Rav and Shmuel, look, Rav Bisuri. Unless you have some compelling evidence to the contrary, you're going to follow Rav Bisuri. But not only do we think just by default we're going to follow Rav, but we think that there's a Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, the Gemara's Masechet Menachah, Sugyas, that seem to point in the direction of following Rav. Why should we follow Rav? Make a taste that we should follow Rav. It was part of a whole theory that the Gemara connects both in the Gemara does this in Maseches Menachos, Maseches Gittin. The Gemara connects two different issues about this Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Whether you require Tefillah Lishma seems to be identical to the Machlekes from Shimon Gamliel and Rabbanon, whether you need Ibra or Lishma in terms of making Daven for Tefillah. The Gemara says that if you hold that you need Tefillah Lishma, then you probably need Ibra or Lishma. If you hold you don't need Tefillah Lishma, you probably don't need Ibra or Lishma. And how should we paskin on that machlekes, whether you need Ibra or the Shema or not? So we wouldn't know how to paskin on that sugya per se, but we do have reason to believe one way or the other, because the Gemara and Sanhedrin links that machlekes, whether you need Ibra or the Shema, which in turn is whether you need Tefillah Lishma, to the machlekes the Bayan Rav about Hazmana Milsa. So when all the dust settled in the sugya, came out according to the end of the Shia yesterday, that according to Rashi, who says that if you hold Hazmana Lav Milsa, that means you don't really take into consideration preparatory stages. Preparing the Tachrichim are not all that important. Preparing the Tefillin are not all that important. Preparing the strings are not all that important. According to Rashi, that is Mana Lav Milsa, what that really translates to mean is that you don't need even the Shema is not necessary. If even the Shema is not necessary, then Tevil Shema is also not necessary. According to Rashi, it's quite possible that you don't really need to feel the Shema. You don't need to feel the Shema. You don't need to feel the Shema. You don't need to feel anything with Shema. Agamara asked the Kasha, don't you need the Shema? What's the answer? This is Rashi Lishitasai. That Agamara is asking from Rav, from the Asiyasa, from the connection of the Chutin to the Beged, not from the Tviya Prav. So this is all great and wonderful within the worldview of Rashi. This is what we left off yesterday. However, comes Rabbeinu Tam, and it could be many, many other Rishonim, who said there is some fundamental flaw in this entire picture. You know what the fundamental flaw is? Because it is inconceivable that we should paskin, you don't need Ibra or Fatil Mishma. That's like a non-starter, says Rabbeinu Tam. So you do on the first sums up Rabbeinu Tam, that Ibud Lishma is absolutely critical, absolutely necessary, min ha-Torah, for the or habatim, not negotiable. How did Rabbeinu Tam know that that point is not negotiable? Perish Gemara, the Masechet Gittin, but the Gemara tells a story that took place hundreds of years after Shimon Gamliel and Rabbanim were no longer alive. In the days of the Amoraim, there was once a guy who wrote a Sefer Torah, and he wrote the Sefer Torah, and he forgot to do Ibud on the Oros Lishma. He forgot to do Ibud on the cloth that he wrote the Sefer Torah on Lishma. And the Gemara says the entire Sefer Torah had to be put into Shemus. The entire Sefer Torah was possible. So the reason, what the Gemara talking about that in Gittin for? What are we Gittin? The Gemara in Gittin is talking about different scenarios when a person is Ne'aman. If I say that something in your property is bad, your Taras Atama, your food is great, when do I have Ne'aman as well? Not the other, not the very complicated. So you're the fifth part of Gittin. So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara discusses does the sofer have nemonis to say that or not? So that's another interesting shaila. You're still getting to figure that out. But imtum tzelamid that the sofer is believed, the fact that the orer was not done the shema, there's no question that will disqualify the sefer Torah. Says Rabbi Natan, this story happened 300 years after Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was alive. And still, the Amoraim were paskei that you need ibur haklah for sefer Torah l'shma. So Zokhi Rabbi Natan, if you need ibur haklah for sefer Torah l'shma, so obviously you need ibur l'shma for tefillin as well. And obviously, what else do you need l'shma? You need tefillin l'shma, because the Gemara says that all those two things are all related to one another. So comes Rabbi Natan and says, wait a second, now the shittas don't match up. Why? If you require Kain Tvil Lishma and you require Ibud Batim Lishma and of course you require Ibud Sefer Lishma, where does this all point us in terms of Azmana Milsa? What should this all indicate to us? The way Rashi set up the sugya, if you require lishma, that means you're a big zmana man. That means you think that preparation is important. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, we're running into a pickle now. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, yes, we paskel lishma. Of course we paskel lishma. The sugya in Gittin forces us to paskel lishma. So we who paskel lishma, like Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, have to now conclude erroneously that hazmana is what? Is milsa, which is also a non negotiable point. Why? Because that would put us into whose camp? That would put us into Abaye's camp. But that can't be, because it's not one of the Yalchagams. So Rabbi Natan is mamash in the corner. Rabbi Natan is mamash in the pickle. Because Rabbi Natan was so convinced that Tvil Lishma, Ibn Bat Lishma, Ibn Tifta, everything was Lishma. So why doesn't that result in Hazman and Milsa? So the answer is, says Rabbi Natan, that we misread the entire Gemara. What did the Gemara say in Masechah Sanhedrin? The Gemara said that the issue of Ibud Lishma is connected to the issue of Hazmana, right? That the Gemara said beferish. Machlokes Abaye and Rava is the same machlokes of Shimon and the Rabbanim. So Rashi taught us in which direction are the issues connected to one another. What did Rashi say? If you hold Hazmana Milsa, then what? Rashi said what? If you hold Hazmana Milsa, what do you need? Then you're a big Lishma person, you're a big Hazmana person, you need Lishma, and if not, says Rabbi Natan v'nafechu. It's the exact opposite of Rabbi Natan. What does it mean? Says Rabbi Natan, if you hold that Hazmana Milsahi, if you really believe that Hazmana is Milsahi, then you don't have to bother to do the Ibud Lishma. But if you hold that Hazmana is Lav Milsahi, then you have to do Ibud Lishma. It's the exact opposite of Rashi. What sense does it make? So comes Rabbi Natan and says, the starting point, the baseline of the sugya of Ibud Lishma is, it's not a machloikis, does batim have to be made Lishma? What's it the machloikis? Of course batim has to be made Lishma. Everything has to be made Lishma. The question was, does the Ibud have to be Lishma? What is necessary to declare these batim were made Lishma? Which part of the process of making batim has to be done Lishma in order for us to be satisfied and declare these batim are made Lishma? So it's on that Nakuda Zokhtar Benetam that the Gemara says depends on Abaye and Rava. If you hold like Abaye that has Mana Milsahi, so there are other stages in the process that can qualify to make it Lishma. We can call the Asiyas Abatim Lishma even if the Ibud proper wasn't done Lishma, because there are other things along the way that we can call Asiyah Lishma. What are some of the other things? So Tosfos writes that just little small cutting, Chatichas B'Alma, that's a strange lesson, little cutting, little shaping, little roughing off the edge, little mash, something can be done, and we can say, oh, we did that, Zolzayin, we're Yetzir in the Lishma. According to who will suffice such a little meager, such a minuscule, quote-unquote, Asiyah Lishma, who's going to say that's okay? That's called an Asiyah Lishma. Who? Which grade am I wrote? It's okay. I barely did anything. I didn't do the Ibud. I didn't do the real process. I did a little preparatory stage along the way, and that's going to suffice for me. So, according to Abaye, that's going to be all right. According to Abaye, there's no need to do an Ibud Lishma. You don't need the higher level process of Ibud Lishma, because since Hazmana Milsa, therefore even the cheaper, the insignificant process of cutting it up, smoothing it out, filing it down a little bit, those kinds of things can also suffice as an Asiyah Lishma. It's only Rava Lishitasa who holds that Hazmana is what? Is Lav Milsa. Therefore, Rava doesn't give any credibility to those other parts of the process. According to Rava, the only thing that could suffice to be called an Asiyas Batim Lishma is that you need the real Makua, you need the Ibud has to be Lishma. Anything short of the Ibud proper will not be sufficient to fulfill the din of Lishma. And that's why the Gemara says that the Machlekes Abayin Rava depends upon the Machlekes of Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon. But in a totally different way than Rashi does. So it comes out according to Benetam, everything is Givaldic. All the pieces of the puzzle work out. Of course you need Tefillah Lishma. Of course you need B'nai Batim Lishma. Of course you need B'nai Torah Lishma. No question. Ah, what happened to Hazmana? How do we paskin? Hazmana what? Hazmana Lav Milsa. Because Hazmana is Lav Milsa, therefore the other insignificant parts of the process don't suffice. Therefore, we require Ibud Lishma. Ad kan divrei Rabbi Natan. So basically, let's just think, try to digest this Machlokes Rashi Rabbi Natan for a minute. There's something fundamental that's going on in this Machlokes Rashi Rabbi Natan, way beyond the details of Hazmana Milsa. According to Rashi, what's the starting point? The Torah Kedoshah tells us you have to have a prayer tefillin. And the Kachna Melach Mishini, you have to have Batim. So I don't know anything yet. I don't know anything about anything. And I'm thinking, I'm scratching my head, and I want to know, do I have to make those batim lishma or not? What's my starting point? I don't know anything about anything. What's the starting point according to Rashi? No. You don't have to make the batim lishma. What does making the batim mean? I'm yaitzim et tzvon, I'm a chertzim et tzvon, I'm wearing tzvon. What do I have to make the batim lishma for? For us. So comes Abaye from left field. And what does Abaye say to me? No. Making the batim is not so insignificant. Making the batim is an important thing. Harayah is an important thing. I'll show you rayas from Hilchas, Arik Begad Lameis. I'll show you rayas from Tefillin Bags. I'll show you rayas from Megillah Rufa. I'll bring you 100 rayas in Halacha that the preparation of a Cheftza is significant in Halacha. Oh, it's Uqt Abaye. Since I know from other areas in Halacha that the preparation of a chefza is important, that's begala to me that it must be the Kamana Satera was that the making of tefillin have to have lishma. That's what Rabbi said. And Rava who said, what are you talking about? What's going on with Araya? Go prove to me that preparation of a chefza is important. I don't see any other area of Halacha preparation of a chefza is important. I know Ereberg Lameis is Nishkin Techerichim. Making a tefillin bag doesn't create an iser to put money into it. There's no makkah, there's no precedent in halacha that the preparation of a chefza has any significance. Because that's mana lav milsa. And therefore, Rava says, you are buying one of them chadish to me, this new din, their ice that you need, asiyas atfil mishma, mehech taisen. So according to Rashi, the requirement of ibud lishma is emanating from the din of hazmana milsa. Hazmana milsa is the mechayev. Hazmana milsa is the source. That's the menorah mila. That's the gem. That's the engine that's driving Abaye to insist and driving Rav Shimon Gamliel to insist that you need asiyas batim lishma. It's hilchas hazmana milsa that's creating that reality on the ground. Without the din of hazmana milsa, I never would have said such a thing. And if Rava who denies hazmana milsa, Tachan concludes there is no such din. There is no din ibud lishma. That's a Rashi learns Pshat the Sugya. So the starting point according to Rashi was there's no din of Lishma b'chla b'yasiyas tefillin unless you can set Mabim v'chadish to be based in the Pash of Hazmana Milsa. According to Ben Tam, what's the take on the Sugya? According to Ben Tam, conceptually, what direction are we coming from? According to Ben Tam, what's the starting point? Vad nidid Lishma. There was never a question of Lishma. That was built into this. Look at this. You can have tefillin without Lishma. Are you crazy? Question of Lishma. Elohat. What's the Machlokes Abaye and Rav all about? That pre-existing din that you need lishma, what was the source for that? I don't know. Kachnim Ho, I don't know what the source was. But that pre-existing din, what's the Nekudas of Machlokes Abaye and Rav? Abaye and Rav are not discussing, should we create a din of lishma? What are they discussing? Should we limit the din of lishma? Can we get away with a cheaper form or the less significant part of lishma? So Abaye came with a Gevaldik Chiddush. Abaye says, the body needs the Shema. That's not negotiable. Let's need the Shema. What could suffice for the Shema? So Abaye says, well, any part of the process that's significant in Halacha can be used to fulfill that requirement of the Shema. So what's called the significant part of the process? So Abaye, Mamre sits down, the Chol Keichai. You know, again, like we always say, all the time that we read the Gemara so flippantly. Abaye says, Hazmana Milsa, therefore, Abaye could have thought this for weeks. You have to think this through. Abaye had to rack his brains and try to figure out what is the Torah standards of something that's sufficient to create Lishma. There's a starting point, the baseline, according to Abaye and Rav, is the immediate Lishma. Abaye learned through the sugya of Erbeg Lameis. He learned through the sugya of making Tefillah Meis. He learned through the sugya of Zeh Gavruf. He learned through the sugya of He thought through for days and days and days and came up with this realization that the Torah in other areas of Halacha does give significance to the principle called Hazmana, and therefore we can invoke the principle of Hazmana Milsas. I didn't get it. Hazmana was learned that from Sukkah, Egla Ruf, etc. We can invoke the principle of Hazmana Milsa and use that to put the brakes on the pre-existing din deraisa of Lishma, and therefore we can fulfill the din, the tzerech deraisa of Lishma, and you don't need Ibud proper. That was all part of Abaye's theory because of Hazmana Milsa. And Rava turns around to Abaye and says, your whole premise is based on a mistake. Why? Your premise that you can get away with insignificant part of the process and call that a Lishma, that's true in your worldview, that has Mana Milsa. However, in my worldview, that has Mana Lav Milsa, those other processes are insignificant, they're irrelevant. There's only one thing alone that can suffice to create Lishma. What does that Rabbi say, according to Rava? Ibud Mamish. So Rasha made a Tama, not just different in terms of Rasha and the Gemara, this way, Rabbi Natan flipped the Gemara on its head. Conceptually, they're radically different. According to Rashi, Rabbi and Rav are fighting out to find the source of Lishma. According to Rabbi Natan, Rabbi and Rav are fighting it out to limit the pre-existing bit of Lishma that we knew on our own. Very, very difficult conception. So they say, when all the dust settles, although Rashi Lishitaso on Sukkah Daftes, Lishitaso Besechet Sanhedrin, could have really concluded that we paskin that you don't need tefillah lishma, and could have concluded that therefore you don't need ibud lishma. That would have been a tenable position. Rabbi Tam said it's an untenable position because kli amul pligi that ibud has to be lishma. The halacha, Rabban disagree, but for sure Rishon Gamliel is correct, and therefore for sure tefillah is lishma, and for sure as manul of milsa and everything is the same, and therefore Sukkah Daftes doesn't read like Rashi. And what is this all hinging upon? Here, Rabbi Nathan, imagine Rashi had this gevaldik shtickle Torah yesterday. Imagine Rashi, the saying over this gevaldik shtickle Torah in Shia one day. He's saying over, look at what I wrote here, look what I wrote there, what I wrote there. The whole, all the pieces of the puzzle fit in. And who's sitting? Who's sitting on his lap? Who's sitting in the front row? Little Einikel, Rabbi Nathan. See, he's a little. Rabbi Nathan, I don't even know how much Rabbi Nathan saw Rashi. If he did very, very little, the Rashbam learned by Rashi. Rashbam was Rabbi Natan's older brother. If he had more of a personal shaka than Rashi, Rabbi Natan was already a little boy. So Rabbi Natan is sitting by his grandfather. The Tama Kazak, Zayde, your whole pshat's not right. What's the Nakuda that's knocking Rashi's pshat out? Comes out according to Rashi. You don't need evil to Shema. And what did Rabbi Natan say? That cannot be Zayde. Why can't it be? Which Gemara? There's only one Gemara that Rabbi Natan discovered. The Gemara getting the third prayer, because the Gemara says that Ibn Aklaf has to be Lishma, therefore, if Ibn Aklaf has to be Lishma, therefore, Or has to be Lishma, therefore, since that's where everything, the whole Rashi sheet is not correct, it's all refuted by that one Gemara. So if we want to bring Rashi's Pshat back to life, if we want to differentiate this Rashi, if we want to negate Rabbi Natan's Kasha, we have to go back to that Gemara, Masechet Gittin, about the Ibn Aklaf, and we have to break an equation here. It is necessary to break an equation. Rabbi Natan made an equation. What was Rabbi Natan's equation? This is it. This is the statement of any significance to the Sukkah according to Rabbi Natan. That Gemara in Gittin is what throws all Rashi's pshat off kilter. So we have to go back and ask ourselves, is that true? Is Rabbi Natan's whole kasha really correct or not? I'm not questioning the Rabbi Natan that the Gemara says in the Ibud Lishma for Klafas if Torah. What I am asking for Rabbi Natan is, Rabbi Natan made a big leap of faith. What was the leap of faith, Rabbi say? What was Rabbi Natan's real leap of faith? Where did he go from? He went from Kaf of the Sefer Torah to what? To Batim of Tefillin. This is Rabbi Natan's theory. In a nutshell, this is Rabbi Natan's whole theory, and the entire pshat in Sukkah Daftes and the sugyas of Menachas Ben Beis and Gideon, everything's hinging, Sanhedrin, everything is hinging on the truth of this equation that Rabbi Natan discovered. And we have to ask ourselves, is this correct or not? If we can undo this, we don't have that much to do. All we have to do is one simple thing. What? What do we have to do? What we have to do is that. If I could figure out a way to make that equation for inequality, the Rebbeinu Tam's pshat is done. The Rashi is back in business. That's our goal.
According to Rebbeinu Tam's version of Abaye, is it that you have to do Ibud at the earlier stages even before? You have to do Lishma even before?
I don't know. No, I think that you can do other things. You don't need the Ibud proper. There are other ways to fulfill the pre-existing Lishma.
If you did Ibud Lishma, that would also suffice.
Maybe that would also be maybe. Maybe.
Really
maybe. Maybe. Maybe.
Didn't there
be
a time
that Mitz
Rava holds that
Ibud
is not considered
as mana?
It's considered like actual.
Ibud is not as mana. Ibud is the real
asiyah,
right?
There's no
point at all.
It's not.
Everyone agrees you need an asiyah such as Lishma, and Rava who says as mana la milsa would require something more than just something which is merely as mana. Ibud is more than just mana. That's what Rebbeinu Tam says. So Rebbe say, is this equation correct or not? So you have to look at these two things and say, well, between you and me, are they same? Are they not the same? They're not the same. They're not the same in any stretch of the imagination. One's cloth you're writing the Sefer Torah, one's batim that you're putting your parshas tefillin in. Had there been a time, they did the same. So Tosfos quotes Yesh Mefarshim, they quote an opinion, they put the Tosfos in the Maamar Kermes, quotes Yesh Mefarshim, that undermines Rebbeinu Tam's equation. It's all not true, says the Yesh Mefarshim. What's the Lashon? What's the Lashon of the Yesh Mefarshim? So in my Mekomis, yeah. Toys the Menachas not been days. It's 2 lines at the bottom of my Mekom, 19 in my Mekomis. Yesh Mefarshim. The harihi dahani zok and that gemara about writing on the klaf shelo lishma was beit shelo lishma. Filu krabbanon, even the rabbanon, those who disagreed with Rabbi Shimon Galil would agree to that gemara and get it. Obviously, those yesh mefarshim were coming to attack Rabbeinu Tam's equation. Why zok the yesh mefarshim? The loy pligi elabar tefillin the tashrish mitzvah. Say the yesh mefarshim. What does tefillin, what does batim have to do with klaf sefer Torah? Klaf sefer Torah is a dover kodesh. It's tashmish kedusha mamish. The batim of tefillin? That's not tashmish kedusha mamish. What did the Yesh Mefarshim mean by that? It goes back to something we spoke about many times. What makes something a dover kodesh? There's only one thing in this world that's the source of all kedusha. What is that? The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the source of all kedusha. There's Kedusha's man in the world. Why? Because the Rebbeinu Shalom ve'yivarech l'kim b'shem Hashem ve'kadosh yoso. Because the Rebbeinu Shalom endowed Shabbos with Kedusha, that's why it's Kaddish. The only reason why there's Kedusha's Yom Tovim is why? The Rebbeinu Shalom didn't endow Yom Tovim with Kedusha. Was the Rebbeinu Shalom endowed with Kedusha? Klal Yisrael. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the ability to endow Zman with Kedusha's Yom. That's Kaddish Yisrael v'Zmanim. That's what it says in Maseches Pesachim. That the Dovra Mekadesh of Yom Tov is not the Rebbeinu Shalom directly, it's indirectly, but the Rebbeinu Shalom is the ultimate source, either directly or indirectly, of all Kedushas Man. And why is there Kedushas Mokom in this world? When the Rebbeinu Shalom Shechina is present, that's Kedushas Mokom, that's where there's Mikdash. And the Washington Heights is a nice place, but the Rebbeinu Shalom, I mean, the Lord Chalai, it's Kavoda, but in terms of real Shechina, in the real sense of the word, is not present here. So when is the Kedushas Achefza? It's Kedushas HaChefetza when the Shem Hashem is there. If there's no Shem Hashem there, it could be a very, very beautiful mitzvah. The Yesrik could be very, very expensive, but it's not Kaddish. The Yesrik is not Kaddish. The Shofar is not Kaddish. Titzah is not Kaddish. Sefer Torah is Kaddish, as Hashem's name on it. Zokti Yesh Befarshim, Bayis Tefillin don't have Hashem's name on it. They're very important. They're very expensive. But they're not Kaddish. And therefore, the din that you need with Shema, Lishma makes sense when you have a Dava Kaddish. When you have a Dava Kaddish, there's no din of Lishma. That's what the Yesh Mefarshim said. And therefore, just because we paskin that the Klafa Sefer Torah requires Lishma, that in no shape or form indicates that the Batim was thrown after Lishma. That's the Yesh Mefarshim.
What about all
the places
we need
Lishma? What about? Like where? Tell me. Wait, hold on. Who says Titzis need Lishma? That's exactly what we're trying to figure out. Maybe they don't need Lishma.
Get.
Oh, get. That's not really Lishma. It's not a double show. Mitzvah. That's not chaloisim. It's a different story. Get a bad example. Give me a mitzvah. Give me a chavtshem mitzvah. It needs lishma. First meal needs lishma. First of all, we pass it. Does lishma. Second of all, even the Torah says it needs lishma. It's not a din of a chavtsh anyway. It's a different din of a gamrei. Give me a chavtshem mitzvah. It needs lishma. I'm still waiting. Somebody said matzah. He didn't really mean matzah. Nobody said that. No. Totally hide behind the omer based matters. He didn't mean matzah. Maybe you made a mistake and you thought this is the din of lishma. Matzah. Somebody misled you. Not you. Rashi maybe, but not you. And the guy's going to say, Sukkah, I'm going to bite the head off. You thought I'd be, you have Sukkah, don't even say it. I mean, unless you think you're from Bishamai. So, Ketok B'yesh B'farshim, Lo Shemana D'Razem Yerav, there should be a din of the Shema B'Dvam Shinash of Kedusha. Sounds like a Gval G'chiluk. It says, Tais, it's a Gval G'chiluk, but it's not correct. You know why it's not correct? The Chiluk is correct, maybe. But the facts are wrong. Why are the facts wrong? Because the bias of Tefillin is what? The bias of tefillin is Dovah Shev Kedusha. But it has the Kadosh Baruch Hu's name on it. Where? Where does Hashem's name on it? Where? What? Who? So comes Tosfos, and in one fell swoop says, against the Yesh Mefarshim, Tosfos doesn't mix any words. Tosfos says one word about the Yesh Mefarshim. The Lesa, it's wrong. They don't tell you what it was even. Again, don't think that a Yesh Mefarshim tells this. You know, some guy walked up his marriage one day and said, oh, I got a great terrace. Let me answer the Yesh Mefarshim was, it had to be about Taisus. You had to be there. You had to be part of the, you know, of the team in order to even make it into being pushed away. Just because the Balei Taisus reacted, that didn't mean it was said by nobody. We just don't know who they were. Balei Taisus probably had Rachmanis on that poor Balei Taisus who said it because he's about to get attacked. Halas, it's not right. Why is it not right? Vika shin shall tefillin, vika kedusha yesh, vika nuchu pekma, vika ligam pekma, vika yishu. Tosfos says, the shin and the tefillin changes everything. Why? Where? Who? Why? What is Tosfos talking about? So the fact that there's a shin on tefillin, that we know. It's halacha moshe mesina. Gemara menachah, shin shal tefillin, halacha moshe mesina. Just because there's a shin on it, that means it's a shame Hashem. We all know that the shin stands for the shame Hashem of Shakai. I know that also. I've also said drashas from the mitzvah boys on that. I know that. But how did Tosfos know that it's a din for shame Hashem? You know that. Did we talk about this? We never talked about this yet. When we looked at the Shabbos kosher, we for sure talked about this. How many years ago? 5 years ago? No, go back to that. Okay. Rabbi Sai, there's a Gemara in Masech Shabbos. There's the following fascinating Shabbos. Sugi called Lahuk Shvilim Lachashamayim. Or behemoth harbulad. We have a brayse. We have a statement of Chazal that it's impossible that something should be used for melech shemayim if it comes from a non-kosher species of animals. That's the lahuk shul melech shemayim or behemoth harbulad. It's based on this, by the way, that the Gemara makes a startling statement about a mysterious animal that appears in Chumash called a tachash. Nobody's quite sure what this tachash is. It only makes its grand appearance in Parshas Truma for the construction of the Mishkan, never to be heard of again. So the Gemara quotes an opinion that says, you know why we never heard of it again? Because it is extinct. It was only there in that one generation. We never heard of it before the Mishkan, never heard of it after the Mishkan, never saw Tachash. It was only around for a very, very small window of time. It was necessary for Bezalel to use it to build the top of the Mishkan. Oros Tachashim Umala. What did this Tachash look like? What was this extinct animal that obviously has left an imprint on mankind? Anyone know what it looked like? So the Gemara describes it as being a what? As a unicorn. The Gemara describes it as an animal with keret echad yesh of the mitzchoy. It had one horn in its head. Chazal Masech HaShabbos. Keret echad ha'ezel of the mitzchoy, the rachle deri nivra, the nignas, whatever, it doesn't exist anymore. So in case you were wondering where the goyim got this notion of a unicorn from, I can't tell you all the details of unicorn blood, that kind of stuff. I have to speak to some other mumchim b'davar in other areas of endeavor, but at least the Maamar Chazal I can share with you. Rabbi say, so the Gemara says, interesting shot. The Gemara wants to know, it's not relevant to Maisa, but in case you lived in the door of Moshe Rabbeinu and you wanted to know, can you eat a tachash? What's the din? Is it kosher animal? What's the answer? What says it has to be by default, it has to be kosher. You know why? Because the din is lohushal lachshmal or beivatov levai. And it's inconceivable that it could have been used for the Mishkan if it wouldn't have been kosher. So it was a kosher species of animals. Again, not that relevant. You know those guys who run around the world making those kosher funny meals? You know what I'm talking about. The Masorah meals. You know what I'm talking about? Think of the Tchelis. Rabbi Aryeh, what's his name?
Greenspan.
And what's his name? Tinsky, what's his name? What's his last name? I forget his name. His name slipped on me. The two fellows who used to learn in YU, when I was in YU, they were around here, and they were always doing very, very exotic things. They're the ones who shechted a goat on across the street. They're the ones who were running around shechting sheep. They're the ones who had, there was a lamb in the dorm for a couple of days running around in my first year in YU. They were always doing interesting things. So they continued to do interesting things. Adiyah Mazed, they're the ones who are running around trying to shech giraffes and running to the Pacific Islands and finding animals. They're very fascinating individuals. They discovered chelas in the process. They were part of the Efrat chelas along. That's their thing. So, Imtum Tzulaimah, anyone in the world would find the Tachash. They would be the one to find it. So the Gemara says, if you find the Tachash, you want to shecht it, you can shecht it. It's kosher animals. It's kosher species of animals. In the middle of that discussion, the Gemara says, this din of Lohukshul and Lachashemayim Lohorbeim Tov Bavad, what was the significance of this halacha? Why do I need such a statement for? To teach me what? What was it? Just to tell me that a Tachash is kosher? Unlikely. So the Gemara tells us that this din of Lohukshul and Lachashemayim Lohorbeim Tov Bavad was necessary in Huchas Tefillin to teach me something. What was the something it was necessary to teach me? So what prav nuchas tefillin is derived from this parish of this din of lehuk shul mecha shemayim? So the Gemara begins to analyze and say, what? Maybe the fact that you have to write tefillin on kosher animal skins, the parish has, the cloth has to be on kosher animal skins, maybe that's what this bryce is teaching, that's what this din is teaching me. If not for this din of lehuk shul, so then I would have thought you could write on pig skins also. So the Gemara says, no. You don't need lehuk shul for that. Why? What's the pasuk? I already know from mine. What's the pasuk? Mantiyot Hashem beficha, Mermut beficha. So the fact that you have to write tefillin on cloth that's from a kosher species, I don't need a brisa from Rabbi Yosef. The funny Rabbi Yosef discovered a brisa 1500 years later. L'hushul lecha shemayim. It's a pasuk chumash. L'mantiyot Hashem beficha. We must strike one. We must say, oh, maybe you need the brisa l'hushul to teach me that the batim have to be made from kosher skins. So what does the Gemara say? What does the Gemara say on that spot? On the spot, what does the Gemara say? Anyone know? Tosis quotes the Gemara. Nobody knows the Gemara. Shabbos Avkarachas. The Gemara says, you guys read the Yesh Befarshim's team. You couldn't believe that Tosis rejected the Yesh Befarshim. You've got to look up the Gemara's Tosis quotes. So comes the Gemara and Shabbos and says, Lohukshu is not necessary for the cloth that I figured out from Manti at Hashem Ficha. Lohukshu is not necessary for the Or HaBatim. You know why? Because the Or HaBatim are also covered by Laman Tiyat HaShem Beficha. Where is the Or HaBatim covered by Laman Tiyat Teres HaShem Beficha? Vishtei Teres HaShem on the Or HaBatim. Rav the Gemara, Ayin Benochis, there's Halacha Moshe Messinai, Shin Shal Tefillin, Halacha Moshe Messinai. Since you require the Shin to be made on the Or HaBatim, it's Chal on the Shin, Hashem what, Rabbi Say? Hashem what? That's called Teres HaShem Beficha. What does it have to do with Teres Hashem Beficha? It's a shin of the Shem Shakai. What's the Teres Hashem Beficha? Nobody see for this Gemara? It's the Gemara Sikash on the level of the Araisa. Even if there wouldn't have been a din of Lahushul Mechashemai, I would have known on my own that the Or HaBatim has to be done from kosher skins because Al Zen Nermal Amanti Teres Hashem Beficha. We state in that Pasuk anything about the shin of Shakai. The Pasuk's talking about Teres Hashem. What do you see? What's the equation of this Gemara? What's clear as day? Shin is Teres Hashem. Why is Shin Teres Hashem? How is Shin Teres Hashem? It's a letter of Hashem's name. How's the Teres Hashem? Because what is Teres Hashem? All Teres Hashem is what? What does the Rabbi say? It's like Dabit Chumash. Teres Hashem is Shem Hashem. That's the name of the Rebbeinu Shalom. If you want to know the description of the Rebbeinu Shalom, we know names in Tanakh. Always a description of the essence, it encapsulates the essence of somebody. You want to know what the essence of the Rebbeinu Shalom is? The only way we could relate to the essence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world is through the Torah. As I state in Raman, that if you want to know what's the shame, what's the description of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world, it begins with Bereishis Bara Elokim and ends with Ein Kol Yisrael. Divrei Torah is the description of Elokus. The ultimate description of the Ribbono Shel Olam we cannot fathom. The Rambam writes that nobody can fathom that. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu when the Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Ribbono Shel Olam, Haredi Nos Kvedecha, I want to understand you, I want to see you. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu? What was the answer? I'm going to show you a little bit about me. I'm going to show you my back. I'm not going to show you my front because the boss of Adam can't see me. A boss, not seeing visibly, there's no visible image of the Ribbono Shel Olam anyway. But those pasuk is derech moshel, no one can understand me. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I didn't give human beings the ability to understand me. It's beyond human comprehension. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I created human comprehension. I created your brain abilities and limitations, and I did not endow you with that ability to understand my essence. The only thing I did do is I gave you the ability for Isa Sachairai. I'll let you see me from the back. I'll let you get a glimpse. Like when you see Lahavda, you see somebody walking, sometimes you can tell the person's walk. If I know the person, I see, I know that's the person. I know the way they walk. I can see the way they're standing. I know the posture. I identify right away. That's the other person. So that's their moshe. Their Baruch Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll give you a glimpse of me, but not my real face. That can only be in the Olam Emes. So what is the glimpse of the Ribbono Shel Olam? What's the next pasuk? Pashas Kisisa. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu, we're getting all ready, all excited. This is the moment you've been asking for. You want to see me? I'm going to give you a little glimpse of who I am. And the Aliyah ends, and we're getting ready to start learning deep, deep philosophy. We're going to get an unbelievable glimpse of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of course, in this world, the highest level of glimpse of Elokus in this world. And what's the next words? What does the Ribbono Shel Olam tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Go open your Gemara, go open your Tosis, go open your Ktzais, go open your Reb Chaim, Reb Ochanan, we quoted last night. Go sit and learn my words. That's it. This is me. This is me. This is my. This is the way I relate to you in this world. This is it. This is my relationship to you in this world. Remember Rabbi Osbin Shivan tells one year Hashanah. I forgot who the marshal was from. He was calling to Marshal of the Vedoma. There's a king, and the king's wearing a lot of garments. He's wearing a coat, another coat. And one of the servants gets so close that he grabs onto the coat of the king. Did he touch the king? There were about 20 garments between him and the king. The king didn't even feel. They touch it. And what does the servant do? He runs back to his farm. He tells his villagers, what did he tell everybody? I hugged the king. You hugged the king? You weren't even near the king. You were 30 garments, 30 coats away from the king. But I hugged the king. You know why? Because he came as close as he could to hugging the king. He still had a din. He hugged the king. The din hugging the king. Aye, there was cloak after cloak after cloak after cloak of merchak and merchak and separation, chatzir. But sof kol sof, he hugged the king. So that's a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Rosh Hashanah, you want to grab on to Malchus, to grab on connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You think you're going to grab to the Melech Machiam Lachim, B'chveid V'atzmai, don't even try. But you can grab on to the outermost coat of the king. And took that testament off. This is the outermost coat of the king that's relevant for us in Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba, the next world, those who grabbed onto the king's coat in Olam Hazeh. So when the king takes off the coats and all everything is this gala, the Ram describes in the Cheshuva that in this world it's an Orah Choshev or Orah Ofel that you can't get a glimpse of the real Elokus. But in the world to come, so Kadosh Baruch Hu will remove all the barriers. And those individuals who grabbed onto the king's coattails in Olam Hazeh will begin to see the real king, the Chvod of Atzma. So that's what the Ramban says in the Hakdamah to Chumash. Ramban says the same Yisrael. He says that Shem Hashem and Divrei Torah Hinu Hach. It's the same thing. It's identical with one another. That's why the Ramban says, that's why the Loch is so strict that if there's a letter missing in the Sefer Torah, the whole Sefer Torah is apostle. It's irrelevant. Who cares about the letter? It says a chos lotan timna, and it doesn't have a. It says a chos lotan timna without an ayin. Who cares? A chos lotan timna. It says about machpatlucha. Said it's not the Shem Hashem. If it's missing the ayin, it's not the Shem Hashem. It's just a lot of nice verses, a nice story. It's not the Shem Hashem. The Shem Hashem has to be perfect. That's Hashem to be mechila v'yatzoyf. If there's a mash or kutash or yud missing, it's not the Shem Hashem. That's exactly what the Ramban says in Derech Drush. That's exactly what the Gemara says in Masech Shabbos in Derech Halacha. It's the identical Yisai. The Gemara says that the Shem Hashem and Divrei Torah are identical to one another, and therefore the Gezeres HaKos of Laman Tiyah Torah Hashem Beficha is Chal, anything that's Chal on Hashem Hashem. Those two didn't go hand in hand. And therefore, the Gemara had no qualms jumping and saying, if you have to write Teres Hashem on Or Behemet Tahira, then you have to write the Shem Hashem on Or Behemet Tahira as well. It's the same thing. And therefore, the Gemara says, the Batim of Tefillin, at least the Baal Shel Rosh, at least, that's a Shaila, how the Gemara knew from Rosh to Yad, that's a whole other story. There's no Shil in the Shayad, that's another story, not for now. But at least vis-a-vis the Baal Shel Rosh, it's called Teres Hashem. And therefore, Pidin, there's not an iota of difference between the cloth that the Sefer Torah is written on and the bias of the Tefillin. And therefore, it's that Gemara, Shabbos Kav Ches, that nobody looked up, that Gemara that Tosfos used to reject the Yesh Mefarshim. The Yesh Mefarshim wanted to reject the Bein Tam. They wanted to draw a distinction. They wanted to draw, to create a barrier between cloth of Sefer Torah and bathroom of Tefillin. And they drew a line between the two, that this is Davar Kaddish and this is not really Davar Kaddish. So he's just saying, nein, it's not true. This is also Kaddish. The bottom are also Kaddish. They're as Kaddish as the cloth of the Sefer Torah. And if the Gemara in Gittin says you need Lishma for the cloth of the Sefer Torah, then you need Lishma for the Sias or Habatim, which means that you need Lishma for what, Rabbi Yisai? For Tvias Achutin, which means that Hasmana, that's got to match up with Hasmana Milsa, Hasmana Lav Milsa. And therefore, whose shot must be right? The Vyeshma first were rejected. Who's right? Rabbi Natan stands correct. So Tosfos rejected the Yesh Mefarshim by proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that or Batim, Klaf Sefer Torah, Mamash Identical Halacha. Don't draw any distinction because you're against the Gemara Shabbos. The Baisai, can we possibly reject Rabbi Natan still? Again, it's that Gemara and Gittin that's doing us in. The Rabbi Natan is holding on to for dear life, and we want to reject it. We want to break down this equation. So comes the Baal HaMor and says, I'm going to break down the equation for you. Almost identical approach as the Yesh Mefarshim, but the Baal HaMor doesn't fall for the mistake, so to speak, of the Yesh Mefarshim. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Anyone read the whole Baal HaMor? It's a long Baal HaMor.
He makes the chiluk, but he says that Hashvishei Kedusha and Hashvishei Mitzvah as opposed to Asira.
Baal HaMor. There is one law in the Baal HaMor. So Baal HaMor threw a word in that we haven't even talked about yet. He said, Ritzuos. Talk to Baal HaMor. We made a big mistake, says the Baal HaMor. We made it multiple times. Who said we're talking about Batim? Who said we're talking about Batim? Anyone see? Anyone learn the Gemara carefully? Did the Gemara use the word Batim? Anyone talk about Ritzuos? Asma, the Gemara is talking about Ritzuos, says the Baal HaMor. Oh, it's a big Asma. If the Gemara is really talking about Ritzuos, then we can bring the Yesh Mefarshim's Chiluk back to life. The Yesh Mefarshim erroneously wanted to distinguish between Klaf, the Sefer Torah, and Batim, and that was rejected by the Gemara in Shabbos Kav Ches. But Rabbi said, guess what? Going back to that Gemara in Shabbos Kav Ches will support the Baal HaMor. What does the Gemara say in Shabbos Kav Ches? Guys, enough with that. Come on. What does the Gemara say in Daf Kav Ches? What does the Gemara say in Shabbos Kav Ches? The Gemara says, why do I need a brayis of Lehushul and Lecha Shemaim el Or Behem Tor Bulvad? What do I need it for? So first the Gemara started, you need it for what? Go through the Gemara again. You need it for cloth to write the parashas on. What did the Gemara say? Forget it. Wrong. Why? Teres Hashem. Then the Gemara tried attempt number two. You need it for what? Batim. What did the Gemara say? Wrong. Because it's also Shem Hashem. It's also Teres Hashem. What was attempt number three? Lo nitzricha. Why did he the brayse for lehukshu machshemal or beirut avulad for what halacha? It ain't the parshias. It ain't the batim. What is it? Ritzua. Sigma says that's the din of Rabbi Yosef. That's the brayse of Yosef. How do you know ritzua is after we've made of kosher animal skins? I get cheaper pig skins than calf skins. Why can't I use pig skin for my ritzuas? So the Gemara says the marker for not using pig skins for ritzuas is al hukshul machshemayim or beirut avulad. Just before we get to the thrust of this sugya, what's relevant for us, the Gemara asked the Kasha, what? That's the mocha that you have to use calf skins? Isn't it halacha Moshe Mitzrayim you have to use calf skins? If it's kosher skins, what's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim? Don't we know that there's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that rituals have to be what? What famous halacha Moshe Mitzrayim do we know about rituals? They have to be what? They have to be black. So the Gemara says, wasn't it nichlal and that halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that they have to be black? They have to be kosher? So the Gemara answers, no, it wasn't. The Gemara says, "Mihi dishchayris gmiri, tahayris migmiri." You were standing on Har Sinai when the Rebbe Shom said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "We need black ritzuos." So Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and says, "Guys, black ritzuos." That's all he said. He didn't say kosher ritzuos. It's black ritzuos. How do you know it has to be kosher ritzuos? The Gemara says, "Oh, Tani Rav Yosef lehukshul machshemayim for morning. It's the tochash that's going to require us to have kosher ritzuos." So, and the dust settles, curtain goes down, the sugya ends. We have discovered why we need this braisa of hukshiru. The hukshiru is there to teach me that you have to have kosher ritzuos. Kosher klafim, that I know from Teres Hashem. Kosher batim, this means from Teres Hashem. Tell kosher ritzuos, that's not Teres Hashem. That's the hukshiru. That's the point, no, remember back from Masech HaShavis. What was this raya? What's the raya from this Gemara? The Gemara said, whenever you need Teres Hashem, it's for sure kosher. Whenever it's a Shem Hashem, it's for sure kosher. Klafim are for sure kosher. Batim for sure kosher. What else we need to discuss? What do you see from here? That Ritzuos are what? So, Frak Bin Yamin, I thought you'd ask better cash than that, but you just, isn't there a dollar in the Ritzuos and a Yud? That's right, that's what you meant, right? I mean, don't the Ritzuos have Shem Hashem on them? Right? Tataka, no, good kasha. Tataka, no. What's the answer if I say, don't the Ritzuos have a Shem Hashem on them, no? Zeb and Fendor, that the Ritzuos what? Don't have a Shem Hashem on them. Zeb and Fendor, that they told you the story when you were by mitzvah. Somebody told you, there's a doll in the back, there's a yud over here. Says, Toysvis, you see cloth in the Gemara. It's not true. Behold, you from the island. You see from the Gemara, there's no dollar, there's no yud, there's no nothing. What does the Gemara say in the Seches Menachos? What's Losh the Gemara? Kesher shall tefillin halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. V'shteit says Toysvis, that it has to be a dollar. Who made this up? It has to be a dollar. Kesher means a knot. What does it have to look like? Get a Boy Scout to tell you a knot. I don't know what it looks like. Says Toysvis. Who cares what it looks like? Who says it has to look like anything? You know who said it has to look like a dollar? You know who said that? Rashi happens to say that. So Toysvis says Rashi's not right. And they bring this Gemara as a raya against Rashi. Rashi said it's got to look like a dollar. So Toysvis says, it's not true. If it had to look like a dollar, it was real to Shem Hashem. So then the Gemara would have had the same problem. What do you need Lahukshu for? Typically it's included in what? In Teres Hashem. So Toysvis brings the same Gemara, the story about Ritzuas, as Al-Khoch against Shittis Rashi. So those who are interested, we're not going to talk about it now. Is that Brisker Rav and the Rambam? It's hard to get more brisk than this. The Dalid has a din of Tzuris Dalid without a din of Ois Dalid. It has to look like a Dalid, but it's no din of Ksivas Hashem. There's not a Ksivas Ois Dalid. Unlike the what? The Shin is a din Ksiva that's Chal on it. And he's a Raya Brura. Rizkarov's a Raya Brura. We should appreciate this Raya, because we learned the Sugyas a little bit. There's a din of Ksharat Muchsaftam. Right? All the tikkuni at tefillin have to be done by someone who's mechuyev in the mitzvah. A woman can't do it. The Rambam says, a woman can't make the batim. But you know what a woman can do, at least according to the Rambam? She can tie the ritzuos. Even though the Rambam himself says it has to look like a dalit. The Rambam shteit beferish, the kesher has to look like a dalit. Zechti biskerov, it has to look like a dalit, but it's not a ksivas ayis dalet. The gzeres hakonos muchsaftam is only on ksivas ayisias. It's on ksivas aparishias, it's on asiyas ashin, that's within ksiva. But the asiyas aritsuas in the shape of a dalet or a yud is not a din of ayisias. It's a din that has to look up the picture of a dalet, doesn't have to be a ksivas ayis on it. But again, we get a little sidetracked. Get back to the Balamor. So comes to Balamor and says, Rabbi Yisrael comes to Balamor and says that the cloth of Sefer Torah needs l'shma, but the sugi of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan doesn't necessarily need l'shma. We could pass it against Rabbi Shimon Gamliel because we're not even talking about Balamor, we're talking about Ritzuos, and Ritzuos are not Dvarim Shem B'Kedusha. Sounds like a Gevaltik Pshat, right? He basically took the theme of the Yesh Mefarshim to reject Rabbi Natan and didn't fall into the trap of the Yesh Mefarshim. There's only one small technical problem with the Balamor. What's the problem, by saying? What's wrong with the Balamor? What? The Ramban, the Gemara's talking about him. The Ramban says, look at the Gemara, it's clear what's talking about him. Tala Leim Or, Chifam the Zohar. Remember, we spoke about this yesterday. That's Ritzuos. It's not about him. So says the Ramban, he doesn't know what the Ramban was talking about. So it's a Gevaldik Alom the Shapshah, but it's not what the Gemara's talking about. The Gemara's talking about him. So the Yesh Mefarshim conceded the Gemara's talking about him and tried to draw a distinction between Kalaf and the Batim. And the distinction was incorrect, rejected by Shabbos Daf Kofes. The Balamor said the Gemara's talking about Ritzuos and correctly drew a distinction between Kalaf and the Sefer Torah and the Ritzuos, but says they're about incorrectly the word Ritzuos into the Sugya, the Gemara's talking about Batim. So the common denominator between the Yesh Mefarshim and the Balamor is they both tried to destroy Rabbi Natan, and the common denominator is they both did not succeed in destroying Rabbi Natan. So Rabbi Natan is Shor V'Kayim. Maybe. Let's follow the train of thought of Rabbi Natan again. We have a lot of arrows here, but the arrows are not really going always in the exact direction. Let's see how the sugya plays out according to Rabbi Natan. We'll go right to left. The important sugya is klaf lo sefer Torah. That's like for sure requires l'shma. That's a fair issue. Gemara can't argue that. Therefore, batim with tefillin. Can't argue with that. Right? The Rabbi Natan showed you all the distinctions were klaf lo mevushal. And once you have batim with tefillin, where are you going to go? Where's next? What's next? Tviyah. Tviyah tzitzis. And this is all based on what premise? Why do you need all of the above? Why can't you just do insignificant parts along the way? Something not as chashur as these things? Because nevach, because as man alav milsa. This is how the sugya plays out. Quadrupinata. This is the sugya quadrupinata. Comes the Ramban and says, I'm going to draw a distinction between the klaf of the Sefer Torah and the batim. I don't think, says the Ramban, that we're meshuv with the pasuk of Shimon Gamliel, even though I'm convinced the klaf of the Sefer Torah needs l'shma. I'm not going to go down the mistaken route of the Yesh Mefarshim and the Balamor, says the Ramban. I'm going to go down the following route, says the Ramban. Let's learn the sugya through the eyes of Tosh B'Chsav. Says the Ramban, what is the starting point of this entire sugya? Remember, we had an interesting machlokes Rashi and Menatam a little while ago. Where's the baseline? When I have a davashal kedush, davashal mitzvah I'm about to create, is my starting point that I need the shema until you prove otherwise, or is my starting point I don't need the shema until you prove otherwise? So we had Rashi and Menatam going in different directions. Says the Ramban, what's the answer to that question? The baseline is, says the Ramban, you don't need the Shema until proven otherwise. There's only one thing that could prove otherwise. What possible vehicle can be used to prove otherwise, to insist on the Shema? It's got to be a pasuk. It's got to be a pasuk. Give me the raya brewer that the Ramban's right. In the absence of psukim, nothing needs l'shma. Give me a raya. What daf are we learning? What? Well, Sukkah Dav Tesav Alf. Don't you know? Can't you recognize it? Sukkah Dav Tesav Alf. Bishamay had a pasuk for Sukkah, they still didn't have it. Tzitzis, everyone seems to have it. Without a pasuk, there's no Lishma. There's no starting point, no baseline. I don't care what Johnny's going to tell you. Boom, mindset. His starting point is you need the Shema. You need the Shema. Starting point, you don't need the Shema until you have a pasuk that tells me you do. Says Ramban, I challenge you, find me pasukim. How come everybody seemed to agree the Klafa Sefer Torah needs the Shema? That was not up for discussion. Because there's a Mefarish pasuk that requires a Ksiva Sefer Torah Lishma. Where's the pasuk? I'll tell you a secret. You better know Chumash because it's not in the Gemara anywhere. How many possible psukim could it be? There's only one pasuk in the Law of Torah that speaks about Ksiva Sefer Torah. Kisvu Lachem is Hashira Zois, which the Torah Rabbah interprets to mean Shira, including the entire Torah. Kisvu Lachem, ooh, that's the magic word. We already know Lachem, Lacha, La, Lishma, Lishma. We know that Lachem is a key word. How do we know? What daf are we on? So we have to ask them off. Lacha, Lachem. The chos of law, the shema. Everybody knows getting is the same as everything else, right? Didn't I just laugh at you a little while ago? I laugh at you when I want to laugh at you, and then I bring you back to life when I want you back. Zachter Aman, Pasin Chumash, Lachem. That's why you need lishma. By tefillin? Who have put on tefillin this morning? Every arm? Every hand better be up. Okay, I'm put on tefillin. Okay, where does it say in Chumash that the tefillin have to be made lishma? Don't tell me so it says v'chay l'cha liyosa yalchad. That means the hanoch has to be l'cha. Where does it say that the asiyas tefillin have to be lishma? Vi state doesn't state anywhere. And that's exactly why the Rabbanan de Rishimim Gamliel said, without a pasuk, it doesn't exist. There's no din of preparing tefillin lishma. No such din. No pasuk, no din. What about tefillin by tzitzis? What could be? Could be lechem, right? Could be lecha, lechem, whatever the pasuk is. Do tasa lecha, lishma. So says the Ramban, a new approach we haven't yet seen, says the Ramban. Up until now, we've been assuming that Rabbi Tam convinced us, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Tzitzis, are all identical. And the Ramban says, no, they're not. Which of these is not like the other? Tefillin is not like the other. Sefer Torah needs the Shema. Tzitzis needs the Shema. Rabban and Tefillin doesn't need the Shema. And therefore, there's no need for us to pasuk in the Rishonim Gamliel. We don't have to feel compelled to follow Rishonim Gamliel. There's no pasuk in his favor. Even though, say, the Torah, yeah, it's a pasuk. And Tzitzis for that matter, yeah, also. So here the Ramban is attacking Rabbeinu Tam. Because Rabbeinu Tam is the one who used the Gemara and Gittit as the proof positive that we follow Rishonim Gamliel. And the Ramban is going head on with Rabbeinu Tam. But he's not going as head-on as the Yesh Mepharshim of Malamor were. Why? Because the Yesh Mepharshim of Malamor, when they disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam, they were trying to defend the position that not only does Tefillin not need the Shema, what else doesn't need the Shema? Tzitzis also doesn't need the Shema. That was the Malamor and the Yesh Mepharshim's goal. Ramban wasn't interested in discussing Tzitzis. He's not learning Tzitzis right now. He just was interested in showing Rabbeinu Tam. He responded back to Hilgi Rabbeinu Tam, your Raya Brewish in a tshuva from Sefer Torah Tefillin is not a Raya Brewish in a tshuva. It's a big tshuva. It's a big chiluk. One is a pasuk, one is no pasuk. It's about a much limited goal. Very, very long, but Mohammed, but a very, very limited goal in the sugya. So again, we have now 3, 4, 5 different perspectives on this whole sugya. We have Rashi, who's legamre in a different world. We have Rabbeinu Tam, who's the one who created this equation. Everything's connected. It's all the same. These four pieces of information. Gittin, and Menachis, and Sukkah, and Sanhedrin, it's all the same sugya, it's all part of the same picture. And we paskin, you need the Shema, and Azman Lagnos, that's Rabbeinu Tam. Balamor and the Yesh Mepharshim, each one of them nipped Rabbeinu Tam in the bud by stopping the equation from Klaf to Tefillin, each in their own way, which each in their own way would prevent the conclusion of Tzitzis needs the Shema. The Ramban nipped Rabbeinu Tam in the bud, but he only nipped the nekuda of the comparison, say, Torah to Tefillin. But the tzitzis, he let Rabbeinu Tam paskin that needs lishma. So it's an important nekuda that the Rabban is being omit on. So it's a fascinating Ramban, because the Ramban threw a whole new approach to the sugya. Before the Ramban came along, nobody quoted psukim here. Everyone was quoting gemaras. There's no Tosh B'Ksav going on until the Ramban came along. Come to the Ramban and says, no, all the sugyas have to be relearned, reevaluated in light of, is there a pasuk, is there no pasuk? It's a gewaltige new insight that the Ramban is having in the sugya. And said to the Ramban, I'm bringing a right brewer that I'm right. What's the Ramban's most powerful raya that he's right? That tefillin don't need lishma because there's no pasuk. But he says it time and time again. What's his machar? He says it. He saw the Ramban. Who saw the macharis inside? I expect as many arms as went up when we put on tefillin before. Somehow there seems to be a discrepancy between who davened shacharis and who learned this Ramban. I can't understand why there's a discrepancy. I remember when I was in Cambria Avenue, so Mincha used to be at 3:30. I don't know if it's still 3:30 in Cambria Avenue, boys. Yeah, Mincha used to be at 3:30, and then afternoon Seder was thought at a quarter to four. So the guys would, take a nap in the during Ben Hasdarim, and the guys sometimes back a little bit late for Mincha. So the question was, maybe they should change the timing a little bit. Maybe they should make Mincha right before lunch. Maybe the end of Seder, in the summertime, whatever. So it shouldn't be that everybody comes late. I remember the Shiva was adamant. He said, Madach, they come late to davening. So come to Chaymer, we make Seder with 3:30. They'll be on Seder. They'll come in late to Seder. This way, there's a fighting chance. They'll come half. They'll only come 5 minutes late to davening. So in the hierarchy of things, davening Mincha and Minyan, or learning Torah for 5 minutes, not even in the forepart. Mincha and Minyan, Talmud Torah, each word is Talmud Torah, Kineged Kulam. Rashi says, each word of Torah is worth 603 mitzvahs. So we're just saying a Shia. Every minute of Shia is the worlds of Elam Haba. So the same amount of arms that goes up for putting on tefillin in the morning, they go up for learning the Muhammad. This time everyone was chazering the previous thing, right from the Chinam. This time that's got lost. The Rabbi said, no. What did Muhammad say? Muhammad said, "Is Raya Bu Hashem La Tshuva was Ad Gemara and Sukkah Daftas." Since the Gemara and Sukkah Daftas says that you need Psukkah, without Psukkah there's no Lishma, that's the governing factor in the entire thing. Adkan Devei Harambat. Rabbi say, what's the bomb kasha against the Ramban? There's a bomb kasha against the Ramban. The whole Yisrael of the Ramban is mufrach minei ubei from the Gemara. Don't worry, the Ramban knew the Gemara and he addressed the Gemara. What's the kasha in the Ramban? The Gemara, I agree with you wholeheartedly except for one word. No. No, seems. You said the Gemara Menacha seems to say. The Gemara doesn't seem to say. It says it. It says it black on white. It says it explicitly. The Gemara says Leiv Ketanoi. The Gemara says if the Ramban is right, what's the Ketanoi? The Gemara missed this Ramban. If the Amoraim didn't read this Muhammad either, so you guys are not such bad company. The Amoraim didn't see this coming. The Amoraim said Kitanoi, the Gemara equated the two. According to Ramban, the whole thrust of the sugya is that the two are not connected. Ramban was well aware of that. What does Ramban say? He says, you're right. The Gemara was entertaining that possibility of Kitanoi. It wasn't an absolute committal to that, not married to that sugya of Kitanoi. It was a possible logical approach. It was the approach of Rabbeinu Tam. It was the approach of others who thought that the sugyas are related to one another. It was a Ketanoi, and the Gemara never bothered rejecting it entirely because it could be, it was true. But says the Ramban, you have to look at Shas like a big picture. You can't just get so focused because you learned the Gemara Menachas Membeis, so you think that's the end all. Because the Fiyomis are Membeis and Menachas, which they're not. But if they would be, you think that's what all Kol Torah Kula is. You have to look at the whole picture. What's the part of the picture that's most critical, says the Ramban? Which sugya really counts? Which sugya really matters, Dr. Ramban? Which sugya you have to look at to really, truly appreciate whether you need lishma, when you do and don't need lishma? What sugya? Sugya Dav Tesla Rav. When you come to Sugya Dav Tesla Rav, Dr. Machamis, and you realize that here the stomach of the Gemara is picking away from Psukim and say, when there's a Pasuk, yeah, when there's no Pasuk, name. When you come to the realization of Sukkot of Testament Aleph, then you realize that there's a stevis of sugyas, machlokes of sugyas. Different approaches, different possibilities. Same way we're shining with different approaches. So the sugyas in the Nachas, when we're looking with the Rebbe Tam's mindset, it's all one big sugya. And the sugyas in Sukkot will say, no, it's not a big sugya. Sittas is yes, Sukkot is no, Sefer Torah is yeah, Tefillin is no. when there's a pasuk here, when there's no pasuk here. So the Ramban was well aware of the sugya membeis. It wasn't a seam, it was a real sugya. And the Ramban rejected that sugya in deference to the sugya of the Tefes. Ramban is a good taina. Ramban is a good taina. The Gemara is pupiling about needing the Shema, but the sugya and the sugya of the Tefes is screaming out only when you have a pasuk. Where's the pasuk by tefillin? Where is the pasuk by tefillin? There's no pasuk by tefillin. So why is there a lishma by tefillin according to everybody else except for Rabbeinu Tam? Everybody else except the Ramban. Why is there a din of lishma by tefillin? So comes the Ritva and says, the only reason in Sukkot Avtes that we're searching for psukim for lishma is because everything in Sukkot Avtes happens to be what? It's almost bringing the Yesh Mefarshim back to life, making the circle complete. Everything in Sukkot Avtes is what? Is Tashmishe what? Mitzvah. There's no Kedusha here. There's no Kedusha in the Avtes. There's a Sukkah and there's Tzitz. There's no Kedusha there. You think Sukkah is Kedusha? Come on, don't kid me. There's no Kedusha. There's no Chetash or Kedusha here. And therefore, the starting point up to Dvar and Dvar Misham Mitzvah is you don't need Lishma for us. What do you need Lishma for? Or but Dvar Misham Kedusha? Says the Ritva, you don't need a pasuk for that. Kisru lachem et hashir azos. We never heard of that drasha tishir slishma. There's no gemara anywhere in Shas that says that. Says the Ritva, dvarim shebe kedusha need lishma. You know why? Because there's a lishma. They're doing it for the shame Hashem. It's like bringing makdash a korban, the Ritva says. It's like you're bringing a korban. You have to shecht out lishma. He brings that marsh of kamadas. Then I put that Ritva in the Marmar Kamas. He uses the marshal shechter carbon lishma. Dvarim shebe kedusha needs lishma. By definition, needs lishma. You don't need a pasuk for that. So the only reason why Sukkot Avtes was searching for psukim is because it's dafka not dvarim shebe kedusha. So whereas the Ramban learned our Gemara as the model for all lishma and kol ha'tarei kula, the Ritva learned our Gemara the exact opposite. Our Gemara is the exception to the rule because it's not dvarim shebe kedusha. It's dvarim shel mitzvah. When all the dust settles, everybody said, you got to really think through the sugi. You got a lot of stuff flying around about the tzitzis, need the shema, don't need the shema, tviya, do we pass like about pass like Shmuel? A lot of complicated things go into this. Our Gemara is complicated. All revolves around the word Alma. The Gemara in Gittin is complicated because the Gemara in Gittin says you need the shema by Laf, but that can point you either in the direction of Rashi, Rabbi Tam, Balamor, Yesh, Mefarshim, Ramah. A lot of directions you can go with that Gemara Masechus Gittin. And we keep on seeing the same Yisrael coming back and haunt us time and time again. Is the Shema the standard? That's what you start with, the baseline of the Shema until proven otherwise? Or is the starting point, you don't need the Shema until proven otherwise? According to the Ritva, it splits between Dvar Shem Kedush and Dvar Shem Mitzvah and the Ramban. It's consistent. You never need the Shema until proven otherwise. So Rabbi said, when all the dust says, how do we pass in any of this? At least the Tzitzis, but we're learning Tzitzis with Avtes. We had to learn Gittin, we had to learn Sanhedrin, we had to learn Menaches. But getting back to our sugya in terms of tefillah lishma, do we need tefillah lishma? Don't need tefillah lishma. Do we need the tefillah sechut lishma? Not. We still have no idea what the din is l'maisa. Hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem on Monday, Sunday we don't finish here, but hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem on Monday, we'll try to put the final touches l'maisa on this and how this plays out tachlis and tafshin and ches in terms of tzitzis. So hopefully, Mitzvah Sunday there's no yeshiva on Sunday. Chanukah break. So hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem Monday we'll finish up and then Chazal will start starting on Tuesday.